This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Welcome back to another episode of Outspoken. Now, Sophie, you witnessed a full moon of a different variety this week.
I was just innocently driving along. It's been beautiful weather in Adelaide, and I was just looking around thinking, it's so nice that it's spring. Then out of the corner of my eye, I see this young boy chasing after my car, and in some sort of aggressive form, he just pulls his pants down and continues running and completely mooned me. And then he almost started running towards the car to get to me. It was strangest thing I've ever experienced.
Do you think that he had friends filming him for TikTok?
That thought did cross my mind, but there was no one else around. I couldn't see anyone.
It is school holidays at the moment, and there's not that much to do in Adelaide, is there?
I actually didn't realise that mooning people was still a thing. I feel like when we were growing up, it was a bit more acceptable to moon people. I mean, obviously we were younger at the time. I remember my ex-boyfriend saying that he once mooned a police car, but I haven't heard about this happening recently.
Probably because you're not 10. That's why you haven't seen people mooning people. It's a real 10-year-old thing to do, Sophie.
It was quite impressive how he still managed to run whilst pulling his pants down.
That sounds like an accident waiting to happen. I thought you were going to say he was chasing after the car because he saw Archie, because you have so many random people coming up to you these days being like, is that Archie from Instagram?
Yeah, we were recently in a cafe and this girl came up to the table and she's like, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but which one of you owns Archie?
Sorry, can I just interrupt? It just reminds me of Bridget Jones, you know, when that guy has his chair on somebody's, I think it's on her jacket. Because I was half expecting them to say, oh, do you guys do a podcast? Not that we ever really get anyone saying that to us, but that is what I thought the girl was going to say.
It was very disappointing. It was all about it was Archie.
Disappointing.
Excuse me. I'm terribly sorry to interrupt you when you're having dinner. It's just
yes. Yes, it was me. Yes. 9 years ago. No current plans to record anything else. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's just that your chair is on my wife's coat.
Rumours are swirling that Cardi and Milan is dating AFL heartthrob Bailey Smith after photos emerged of the pair getting cosy over the weekend. However, the speculation comes with drama, with many fans asking, what about his girlfriend? Now, firstly, Kate, for those who don't know, who is Cardi and Milan?
Well, Cartier is a bit of an OG Australian influencer. I actually first came to know of her because she was featured in one of Sammy Robinson's vlogs, and she's friends with Sammy and did a bit of a Q&A. So I followed her YouTube channel from there. So she actually made her debut on the platform as a bit of an accident. So Cartier was studying theatre, and as a part of her studies, she got into doing stage makeup. Now, one of her friends asked her, oh, how do you do it? So she filmed a video of herself, a bit of a makeup tutorial, and she decided to share it with her friend via email. However, the file was too large, so she thought, oh, I'll just upload it onto YouTube but set it to private. Now, unbeknown to her, it actually went public. So she then thought, oh, stuff it, I'm going to upload another one. And she uploaded a YouTube tutorial of her doing a Kylie Jenner inspired makeup. And at the time, Kylie had her original lips, and her lips were quite contentious, and everyone was talking about them and how she made them bigger. So Cartier really played off that, and her video went viral. So that was when she was only 15 or 16, and this was around 2014. Now, Cartier said she didn't actually start posting properly on the platform until about a year later. Now, when she was 17, she spent a year trying to find herself, as you do, in Byron Bay, and then she moved to Sydney to become a full-time influencer. Now, since the pandemic, Cartier has moved back to Brisbane, and she's just launched a podcast with fellow influencer Ashton Wood called Common Chaos, which is doing really well on the podcast charts.
Is it just me, or has Cartier always seemed older than she actually is? Because I was so surprised to hear that she's only 23.
Yeah, me too. I feel like she's one of those old souls, and she's always seems to have been around older people, because her co-host Ashton Wood, she's 28, and she said that they actually met in Byron Bay and Katia was still at school and on a bit of a road trip. So I feel like she was one of those teenagers that really hung out with the older crowd, because apparently these two met at Cody Simpson's party. I mean, how does a 15, 16-year-old get invited to a party like that?
Well, before we get further into the story, I feel like you've got to fill us in, Amy, on who Bailey Smith is.
So Bailey Smith is a 20-year-old footballer who plays for the Western Bulldogs, and he's renowned for his blonde mullet, and recently he's gone on a week-long bender after the Bulldogs lost the grand final in Perth. Now, Bailey is a real heartthrob at the moment, particularly in the Gen Z demographic. I mean, I suppose because I'm 12 years older than him, the mullet doesn't really appeal to me, but he is so popular.
Do you know what though? I thought the same thing, and then I did have a look on his Instagram, and if he got rid of the mullet, he'd be very attractive. I saw a photo, it actually was posted on Tuesday, of him shirtless on a chair. His abs were looking very chiseled, and he seems to be trying to redeem himself after his weekend of partying, because he captioned the photo with an angel emoji. It's quite funny though, because I've seen some commentary around Bailey Smith in our Facebook group, and someone pointed out that he really looks like a male version of Chloe Zepp. And then someone's like, actually, no, he looks like Mitch Orville. So people have decided that perhaps Artie is going to look like him when he's older.
That's hilarious, because I was saying to Soph earlier today that I thought he looked a bit like Mitchell Orville as well.
I actually think he's pretty cute. I know you guys are saying he's not your type. Maybe it's because I go for younger guys, but he's got something about him.
Yeah, I mean, he's got something about him, but it's more so, I mean, I like a clean cut man. I'm not really a fan of the mullet. I think if he cut the mullet, I mean, he's also 20 years old.
Well, Amy, you seem to be in the minority, because Bailey Smith is the third most followed AFL player in the league. He's racked up 372,000 followers, and he's only been beaten out by Buddy Franklin, who has 334,000, and Dustin Martin, who has 338,000. And it's quite incredible, because at the start of the year, he only had 130,000 followers.
Did you guys know he actually has more followers than the Western Bulldogs page as well, which is pretty funny because he's one player for them.
Well, I heard there was a nude photo circulating of Bailey, except it was a fake nude photo. So someone has pinched a photo of him. I think it was he was lying in the back of a van and they've just imported a dick on it.
I saw that. That was really disturbing because can you imagine if someone did that to a woman?
It's so gross.
Who's out there importing dicks on, like, you wouldn't you think you'd Photoshop a head, like his head onto a body? Like, that seems really difficult Photoshop skills to do that.
There's probably a lot of people in lockdown that are quite bored, it seems.
Yeah. Well, that's not the only drama surrounding Bailey. Last Friday, a video emerged of him giving a pep talk in a huddle with a bunch of club goers during a messy night out in Perth. This is what he said.
See that? Yep. Boy, at the end of the day, it's about that fucking ticker. We're here, right?
Yep.
We're here. Hey,
we're here.
Hey, we ain't slept in fucking...
We're nowhere else.
Wait, no.
We
ain't slept in 48 hours. We ain't slept then.
Sleep for the week.
We ain't slept then. Sleep for the fucking week.
Sleep for the fucking week.
Sleep when you're dead. When you're dead. Yeah, we'll do that.
That's right, baby.
It's a big night. We'll relax.
We're having a bit of fun.
We'll
fuck a couple of
we'll have a crack.
Yeah.
And here we fucking go.
Let's go!
Now, this video was uploaded by a random TikTok user, and the video has already amassed over 300,000 views. What did you guys think about the video?
Is it really surprising? I feel like this is what most footy players get up to on their Mad Mondays. While I find it disgusting the way that they're speaking about women, I just think, is it really that surprising?
The thing is, though, what I thought was off was apparently Bailey has a girlfriend back in Victoria, and there are rumours that now they're off after this video has come out. And that's who I felt for, the girl. And I was a little bit disappointed because I did hear him speak on Abby Chatfield's podcast and he did seem like a really nice, genuine guy.
But this is what happens when young men get together and egg each other on. It's the whole dynamic that is bad.
Well, Amy, as you touched upon, Bailey did have a girlfriend and her name is Izzy Armitage. Now, she posted a series of photos with Bailey back on August 3rd and these photos were taken at her 21st birthday. And the pair were very coupley in the photos. There's a picture of them kissing and he's got a flower behind his ear. Now, since the photos of Bailey and Cartier emerged on the weekend, she has unfollowed Bailey. It's a bit awkward because he is still following her.
This follows the news that Mia Favola also dumped her Western Bulldogs AFL player. It seems like there's a lot of trouble going on in Perth.
I feel like we've got to get into the Insta stories that Cardi has shared though. So on Sunday, she shared a series of Insta stories of her getting close to Bailey Smith. So in one video, she's posing with him at a bottle shop and he is standing very close behind her. Subsequently, there was another photo shared and they have their arms around each other and they appeared to be attending a party together. And social media has just gone off at these photos. Everyone's wanting to know what is going on.
I was shocked when I saw them because it's sort of weird to see influencers with footy players. I know that sounds silly because we've seen Shani Grimmon date Tommy Bug and there's obviously crossover because these are two groups of people that have a lot of money, get a lot of attention, and also in the off season, footy players have a lot of time on their hands, as do influencers. So it makes sense to see them socializing together. But I was surprised.
Do you remember just back in the day when we were younger, it was just the wannabe models that were hanging around footballers?
Yeah.
It's pretty juicy because Cartier has since revealed that Bailey is going to be interviewed on her podcast. So on her podcast Instagram account, which is Common Chaos, she put up a post that said, "Could not have had a better first guest. You guys are going to love this episode. Incredible human inside and out. We'll be out next Wednesday. Hee hee." What did you guys make about this announcement?
It made me wonder if this whole thing has been a bit of a publicity stunt because Bailey Smith is one of the most popular AFL players and it coincides with Cartier releasing her podcast. Now, it has done very well on the charts and she's obviously got to create that momentum because people are going to listen to the first episode, but it's really hard to get people back in for a second episode. And what better way than to tease that you're going to be interviewing this potential new boyfriend?
Well, I actually don't think that they're dating at all because Bailey wrote under the post, "Best chat with the sisters," and he tagged Cartier, her best friend and podcast host, Ashton Wood. Isn't that an absolute burn, being referred to as a sister?
No, I think that is a load of bullshit and he's trying to play it down and pretend that they're all mates because apparently Cartier was friends with her boyfriend Josh before they got together. So this seems to be a common thread with Cartier and her boyfriend, sort of soft launching guys that she's just friends with.
Well, I did listen to their podcast today and she and Ashton were talking about how it was bad being single and that they were both single. Ashton's coming out of a relationship. So it did sound like the girls were on a bit of a hunt for a boyfriend, really.
Did you guys like the episode? I personally haven't had time to listen to it.
I mean, as influencer podcast goes, I actually thought it was well produced. I did find it interesting. I will tune in again, definitely for this Bailey Smith interview.
I feel like you had a bit of a mixed response to it, Kay.
Look, I haven't listened to the whole thing, but I found the start quite insufferable, if I'm going to be honest, because they were talking about what they referred to as their mantras and that kind of shit. I'm not interested in that kind of stuff.
See, I don't mind that stuff. You did say that influencers could probably just fart into a microphone and go to number one on the charts, Kay.
Look, I may have said that, and that's probably coming from a place of being a little bit annoyed because we have been working on our podcast for 3 years and we're very happy with how it's
gone. It's been 2 years.
2 years, 3 years.
That was a very jealous Kate coming out saying that. Look, I'm going to defend the podcast. I thoroughly enjoy it. I love listening to a bit of nothingness on my weekday.
Talking about influencer podcasts, I have been loving Friends Without Benefits, and that is from Anastasia Kingsnorth and her friend Byron.
Does that surprise anybody?
Oh my
Sophie,
God.
You're always going on about Anastasia.
I am a fangirl of her, but it's the biggest load of dribble. But sometimes there's nothing better than listening to that crap, like just something that's mindless. It comes out on the weekend. I chuck it on the car when I'm driving to the shops with you guys. It's the best.
Well, I've got another recommendation for a real mindless podcast. It's Where's Your Head At by Anna and Matt from Love Island. And it's all about dating. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, this is doing quite well on the charts at the moment.
Yeah, I can see why, because I feel like with the relationship podcast, everybody wants to hear a guy's perspective. Mm. And I find him quite interesting because apparently he sort of is a bit of a clinger. So it's quite interesting to hear his take on things.
Well, just to wrap things up on Cartier and Bailey, I am so interested to see how this turns out because Bailey is based in Melbourne and Cartier is currently in Brisbane. However, she does, well, she used to live in Sydney. So it will be interesting to see if there's a Shiny Grimmin, Tommy Bug situation and Cartier has to move to Melbourne and how that plays out. I would love to see some vlogs about that personally.
I would too. I don't think any Brisbane influencer is going to survive in Melbourne when it starts to turn cold.
It's a fucking piss take. You're all taking the piss out of me. My hair, this is very expensive hair, is fucking frazzled because you've only got straighteners in here. You haven't got heated rollers. So you better pay, you can pay for me to have a new set of extensions.
Influencers Lucy Jackson and Nikki Westcott have been slammed for what fans deemed a subpar performance in their podcast live stream. Disgruntled fans have demanded a refund after paying $25 to watch the two-hour episode. Kate, can you firstly tell us who are Lucy and Nikki?
Well, Lucy and Nikki are a bit of a dynamic duo and they are known as We The Wild Ones. They are influencers in their own right and they founded a fashion brand called Jagger and Stone. And of course, they also have a very successful podcast called Happy Hour. Now, the girls met while they were studying marketing and became best friends through their part-time jobs at Red Bull. Now, back in the day, that used to be such an illustrious job. I remember all the models had it and you'd be really jealous seeing the Red Bull girls out and about in their little car.
You'd either be a Red Bull girl or you'd be a grid girl to be one of the popular girls, or you'd be both.
Now, as I touched on, their podcast is very successful. They discuss topics like starting businesses, relationships, they interview people, and they share wild party stories. I don't think there's been an episode that has been talked about so much as the episode that they recorded on the weekend. So, V, can you tell me what happened?
Well, it's been the most requested topic ever. Our inbox has been blowing up with listeners wanting us to cover this story. So with New South Wales and Victoria in lockdown, the Wild Ones decided to host Happy Hour Up Late, which, as you mentioned, Amy, was a two-hour live stream hosted by the girls on Saturday night. So the live stream was hidden behind a paywall, so fans had to pay $25 to gain access to the event.
Is it just me or is $25 a lot to pay for a live stream? I could understand if it was a live event because there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes.
Well, it is interesting, Kate, because they did hold a live show earlier in the year, which was, of course, in person. And they interviewed Abby Chatfield on the show. They also had the Veronicas perform and tickets for that cost $50. So obviously there would have been a lot of overhead costs, but for something like this, it did look very low budget.
See, I think of it this way. How much do you go to pay to watch a two-hour movie? Sometimes it's $20. Sometimes it's $11, depending where you go. So if it, for me, I would probably pay $25 to watch something like this if it was really good quality, like if it was a really good podcast episode.
Well, I don't know why they just didn't make it for free, because the whole premise was that people are in lockdown. They need some sort of entertainment. I feel like it would have been something good to give back to their community to just do it for free on Instagram or Facebook Live.
Well, you see so many companies say keep it cleaner. They provide free workouts for people. And that, as you said, that's a bit of a community building exercise. So I totally agree. It would have made a lot of sense. Now, going into the overheads of the production of this live stream, there have been a lot of people complaining about the quality of it. So some people said that there were issues with the microphone and that things kept cutting out and the sound quality wasn't good. What did you make of it?
So to paint the picture, the set was pretty average. It was basically this white background, which was lit up by some pink lighting. There was this large green couch and it had a glass coffee table set up in the front with an abundance of alcoholic drinks. There was also a mini fridge in the background bursting with alcohol. So you can see the vibe they were going for.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I didn't personally think it looked unprofessional. I thought, oh, you know, I would sit down and watch it. It kind of reminded me of a bit of Big Brother Up Late. Like, was that kind of vibe? I think what people weren't happy with was the audio quality, as Kate mentioned. And if you're doing a podcast, you need to be sure that the audio quality is really, really good.
Well, another big one that kept coming up also was the quality of content. So this was pitched as, you know, you have to pay $25 to access this never heard before content. We're going to be telling our juicy stories. So a lot of people said that they were hooked in because they thought that they were because it was behind a paywall, that they were going to have access to this really interesting information. And unfortunately, a lot of people said, well, they heard maybe two stories that were new, but there was a lot of recycled content. And people were also not impressed with the guest list. So the girls interviewed Millie Graham from TikTok and also M. Davies. Now, they weren't actually on set. They were interviewed via FaceTime and the quality was quite bad and difficult to listen to. They also had Kalen Ponga, who I had no idea who this guy was before. I've been told he's one of the hottest NRL players. So he's a rugby player and he came on set, and to say it was awkward is an understatement.
Yeah, they kept playing these never have I ever games with him. And at one stage, he said it just felt like it was some sort of 20 questions directed at him. And it was just really awkward because it was very apparent that Lucy was heavily intoxicated. She was slurring her words. She couldn't really walk at one stage. And what made it even more awkward was the fact that they had these mini ad breaks throughout. So they just randomly start playing music and the girls would dance along to the music or go to the toilet while the DJ played. And at one stage, there was a nip slip. So Lucy was dancing so much to the Veronica's Untouched, which on a side note is an absolute banger. Mm. And yes, there was this nip slip moment that everyone keeps talking about.
Do you know what? The whole thing, like the clips I've seen of it, it just reminded me of when you get stuck out at a club or a pub and you're sober and you're with someone who's really drunk. And, you know, it's like kind of fine to listen to your friend if they're drunk, but I wouldn't pay to be there and to be involved in it.
Do you know what? Maybe this was an absolute stroke of genius though, because this live stream has given everyone so much to talk about. It's also reminded people that they're not really missing out that much by not going to nightclubs. I mean, it probably was a real representation of a Saturday night out and about.
I saw a few comments said that the live commentary under the stream was the best part of the night. What did you guys think? Because a lot of people, back to Kalen Ponga, what did you guys think about the rumors that he and Lucy are an item? Because she did seem very smitten by him. I feel like there were a few little kisses here and there on the cheek, and they very much were acting like they knew each other. There seemed to be a few in jokes that she had, well, I felt like the underlying thing was that there was some references that they'd had hooked up before.
I definitely think there was something going on between them. Like, good on her. It did add to a bit of the entertainment.
Gosh, mm-hmm. I kind of hope that they do know each other. Otherwise, it would have been super awkward for him and her watching that back.
I did feel really sorry for Nikki throughout this, because I think that she really was trying to salvage the situation and host the night, because that's something else they got criticized for. People said they were just mindlessly chatting with one another. At one stage, Nikki had to rip the microphone out of Lucy's hand and she said, thank fuck, this is ending soon. And that was kind of a bit of a theme throughout the night. They kept asking, when is this over? Like, this 2 hours is dragging on. And I think that's how the listeners felt as well.
Just playing devil's advocate here. I mean, the girls are known for getting on it and having a good time. Do you think that Nikki thought, okay, well, the punters, this is what they want to see. They want to see us having a drink, slurring our words, telling funny stories. Did we expect more from it?
I think personally it's a really difficult one because, as you said, it's their brand. They're the wild ones and they're known for partying. But I think people expect a level of professionalism when people are paying a fee to watch their show. I think it would have been appropriate to have a few drinks, but to be at the point where you're hosting a podcast and can't speak, I think you know it's gone too far then.
Now, following on from this live stream, there was a bit of backlash from some of the listeners who were very disappointed and felt like they deserved their money back. They were complaining about the tech issues and also the content that was on the episode. So one listener wrote, "It concerns me that influencers think by simply turning up, doing the bare minimum is enough while financially benefiting from their following. Don't host an event if you don't know how to run one. It's disappointing and speaks to a wider issue in the influencer space of real work versus money." Now, what did you guys think of this woman's response? Because I think she hit the nail on the head here.
Look, I do agree with some of what that listener said. I do feel a little bit bad though, because I think Lucy and Nikki are very professional when it comes to their normal podcast recording. So I do feel bad brandishing their whole brand with that statement.
Yeah, I more think that what this girl is saying is not necessarily just to do with them. It's to do with a wider issue with influencers. As you say, Amy, I do think that normally their podcast is incredibly professionally run. And that was quite evident in the apology that they released on their episode on Tuesday, which we will go into a little bit later. But first, Kate, they did actually reveal one juicy piece of information about Mick Jagger. Can you tell us what they said?
Yeah, well, they basically said that they're getting sued by the Rolling Stones front man. However, it's not entirely new information, because back in April this year, it was reported on that Lucy and Nikki failed to trademark their clothing brand, Jagger & Stone, after Rolling Stones company Mercador BV opposed to their bid to trademark the name. So back in 2018, when they launched their brand, they did try and register the name as a trademark, and this has been barred by the Rolling Stones company. And Lucy denied that the brand's name had any reference to the Rolling Stones or Mick Jagger. So she said, "I'm considered to be the Jagger. Urban Dictionary defines Jagger as a psychotic demigod that you should never get on the bad side, as he or she will mess you up big time. Being the aggressive, determined half of the duo, this is a word that I'm often referred to by friends." And then she went on to say that the reference to Stone is more of a symbolic meaning and represents Nikki's personality and characteristics in being grounded, stable, down to earth, and the rock of the business. Now, as reported in April, the Register of Trademark delegate Katrina Brown said that the pair acted in bad faith in their bid to register the name. And this was reported on in the Herald Sun. So Katrina Brown said that the Jagger & Stone Instagram account featured the trademark with photos of models posing in front of electric guitars and sitting up on amplifiers with signs reading, "If the music is too loud, you're too old." She went on to say the applicant has provided no explanation for this conduct, nor does there seem to be any obvious reason why the applicant would need to associate its clothing with being in a band, loud music, or electric guitars and amplifiers.
What I found pretty amusing was in the live stream, Lucy said that she didn't even know who the Rolling Stones were before they started. Do you? I mean, Sophie, I feel like that's something that you would say. You seem to come out with these one-liners. You seem to not really know who some people are.
To be fair, I'm around the same age as the girls, and I've definitely heard of the Rolling Stones. I think it's a pretty feeble response.
Well, what about the song Moves Like Jagger? You can't deny that you've heard that at a nightclub. When we were in our early 20s, that was played everywhere. And in terms of this Urban Dictionary reference, it's quite clear that it's based on the characteristics that people assign to Mick Jagger. Like, that's why people are called a Jagger, don't you think?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, it's an Urban Dictionary. People make up the meanings of the Urban Dictionaries a lot, so you could be onto something.
So on Tuesday, the girls read out a statement on their podcast and apologized for the live stream incident. Now, I do believe that this statement would have been written by the very talented team at Spin & Co, because they are fantastic at managing any sort of crisis involving any of their talent. And I thought it was a really well-written apology. So Lucy and Nikki said they wanted to take the time to read through everyone's feedback and apologize to the punters who they said they did not deliver for on the night. So they acknowledged that the tech wasn't up to standards and that they should have spent more time testing it. But the main point that they wanted to apologize for was that they said they did not deliver on the content front. They said that they wanted to have a fun night where they could chat over drinks with the punters, but they admitted that they did spend too much time focusing on the drinks and less time focusing on the show. They also said they were there for too much of a good time and didn't show up for the listeners when the listeners have consistently shown up for them. They also said that they're going to put their heads down and make sure that the next time they're on stage, they deliver at a standard that their listeners deserve. They also said that it was a really good opportunity for them to learn. And I feel like that's textbook PR. That's very good PR to say that you are learning from the experience. And the thing that I also loved is they said that they were donating $10,000 that was raised from the live stream event to a very worthy foundation, which is Move for Lex. And that is a foundation that was set up for Noosa triathlete Alexa Leary, who suffered a brain injury in a horrific cycling accident when she was training on the Sunshine Coast. Now, the girls actually covered her story on their show, so I thought it was a really lovely foundation to donate to.
They also finish by saying they're really sorry. And that word sorry is sometimes missed in a lot of influencer apologies. So I thought that was really good. I do think from a PR perspective, there's not much more the girls could have done. They did a great apology. Donating money also was a great option, and it's also going to such a worthy foundation.
And the fact that they addressed it first thing on the show, I think was a really great move. And I think it would have been hard for the girls to address it. So I think that it's the best outcome at the moment.
Yeah, you make a good point that they addressed it on the platform that people had the issue with, because sometimes you can go hide an apology on Instagram. I mean, I know the girls do have a lot of followers, but people click through stories pretty quickly. But when you put it at the start of the podcast, people are not going to miss that. As you said, I think they ticked all the boxes in terms of a PR apology. It was great. And I really do hope next time they have a live show, they do learn from it, because people love their podcast. People loved their live show. They had so much great feedback over it. So let's hope the next live stream is a lot better.
Well, I think that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Outspoken.
And if you would like to join in on the conversation, please head over to our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community.
And if you do love the podcast and you haven't yet left a review, please go onto Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review if you enjoy it.
And don't forget to tag us in your stories of where you're listening to the podcast.